So we want to look first and foremost at John 10. Where this is where we're going to start and jump off from there. John 10, 9 through 10. This is Jesus speaking. He's speaking, and he makes one of those declarations in John. He makes seven, but he makes a declaration in John. It says, I am the door. And let me continue. It says, I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved. And we will go in and out and find pasture. And, I'm sorry, let me say that again. He will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. The thief does not come except to steal and to kill and destroy. I have come that they may have life and that they may have it more abundantly. Now, different translations might say that a little differently. The NIV would say, I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. To the full. So here, Jesus is talking about us as a sheep. Do you know this morning that you're a sheep? Bah. Yeah. And sheep are not, I'm not going to go into all about what sheep are. You know, sheep are not these mighty royal beings, you know, that are majestic. They produce a lot of wool, which is nice and very beneficial. But they also are herd animals, right? They like to herd together. They like community. But also we find that they also will stray away. But sheep need a shepherd. And Jesus is talking about us as his sheep, but he's also talking about the flock of his pasture, meaning it all belongs to him. And he's the one who leads us from pasture to pasture, place to place. And if anything we know about sheep, and I remember showing a video, oh, maybe a year or so ago, where a group of sheep out in a field were, these students were given this opportunity to go and call the sheep, okay? And each one, they would get up and say, well, you know, go call the sheep. And this is what you do. And this is, the shepherd would say, well, this is how you do it. And this is, and so they would do it. And the sheep would hardly blink an eye. They would just kind of like, okay, well, I don't know what that's about, but I'm going to eat my grass. And they went on. And then finally the shepherd, after about four people went, got up there and did the same call with his voice, and those sheep started coming. They started coming. Every one of them came across the pasture to him. And which shows exactly one thing what the Bible tells us. The sheep know the voice of the shepherd. They know. They know who's calling. You could be doing the same call, but they know the voice of the shepherd, and they come. And so the sheep know his voice, and they follow him. And in this parable, even that Jesus is speaking about before this word on having life abundantly, he describes himself as the good shepherd. He describes himself this way. And he contrasts himself with the thief. Now, we know who the thief is. We know the thief is the devil. The devil comes to steal, to kill, and destroy. And anyone who would do the works of the devil certainly take advantage of the sheep. Now, Jesus did not come to take life. The thief came to take life, to destroy life. And we have an enemy who literally wants to destroy us. I think you've probably figured that out in life. We see it in the world today. There are destructive forces taking place in the world today. But Jesus said he came to give life. To give life, and not just life that you might just survive another day, but it says that he came to give life to the full, life abundantly. So this is an incredibly blessed life. The Greek word for abundant here is the Greek word perisson. Almost sounds French. Perisson, okay? Which means abundant, exceeding, more than sufficient, overflowing. Sounds pretty good. It means super abundant in quantity or superior in quality and by implication, excessive. Wow. Jesus is talking about giving you a super abundant, excessively overflowing life. This is the life that he is talking about, the life he came to give. So we see that this life that Jesus is talking about is full of incredible blessings. So if we are to have the abundant life in Jesus, then why don't we just take some steps, right? Why don't you just go ahead and buy the jacuzzi? Why don't you just go ahead and make the flight to Paris? Sure, take a credit card. Go have a spending spree in Milan, right? Sure. I mean, isn't this the abundant life? Isn't there a new Corvette with your name on it? Surely this is the abundant life that Jesus came to give. That's overabundant. That's excessive. That's this incredible life that he came to give us. But is that what Jesus came to give us? I don't think that's the way abundant life works in the kingdom of God. And you see, we in this world, and even in the church, we can misdefine the life that Jesus came to give us. And if we do, we miss everything. We miss really what Jesus came to give. And we start thinking in totally a different paradigm. And if we do so, we're missing God because our understanding is leading us in a different direction than the Lord wants us to go. And what we're thinking about is not what God is thinking about. And so I can occupy my time thinking about stuff. And God's saying, that's not where I'm going with your life. In fact, Scripture says to think more in line with God, Colossians 3, verse 2. It says this, it says, set your mind on things above, not on things on the earth, for you died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. So we're supposed to be not only sheep, but dead sheep. Sheep that don't simply think all about ourselves and our lives and this earth. So now that we're in Christ, our perspectives on life are called to change. There's a change that needs to happen. We do know that material blessings have significance. I mean, we are spirits who live in bodies, right? And it's important to know that we have bodies, and God knows that. And we need material blessings. They are significant, and God gives blessings to us. But we have to go beyond the natural in order to understand and see the abundant life that God came to give. Because if we limit it to the natural, we are missing by far the fullness of what God came to give. So Jesus addresses this in front of a crowd one day in Luke 12. He says this, verse 13, there's someone in the crowd, and someone in the crowd said to him, teacher, tell my brother to divide the inheritance with me. And Jesus replied, man, who appointed me a judge or an arbiter between you? Then he said to them, watch out. Be on guard against all kinds of greed. Life does not consist in the abundance of possessions. The New Living Translation says, life is not measured by how much you own. Well, I know in this world, we grow up with a sense of sometimes saying, you know, your net worth is who you are. What you own, what you have, what you gather, what you accomplish in this world. Well, that says everything about you and who you are. And we come into this identity issue. Is that really who we are? But Jesus is saying life is not measured by how much you own. See, Jesus makes it clear that abundance, the abundance he is talking about, is not about possessions. Thus, it's true, there may be a rich man in this world that actually is poor in the eyes of God. God sees very clearly a rich man, but that rich man is poor when it comes to the abundant life. So that means we have to go deeper. We have to go deeper into this idea of material goods and possessions. Jesus tells a parable right after he talks about possessions. He says this in verse 16, next verse. And he told them this parable. The ground of a certain rich man yielded an abundant harvest. He thought to himself, "What shall I do? I have no place to store my crops." Then he said, "This is what I'll do. I'll tear down my barns and build bigger ones. And there I will store my surplus grain. And I'll say to myself, 'You have plenty of grain laid up for many years. Take life easy. Eat, drink, and be merry.' But God said to him, 'You fool! This very night your life will be demanded from you. Then who will get what you have prepared for yourself? This is how it will be with whoever stores up things for themselves but is not rich toward God.'" Again, the last verse, the New Living Translation says, "Yes, a person is a fool to store up earthly wealth but not have a rich relationship with God." So Jesus is making a very specific point here, that material possessions are sometimes simply not as important as we sometimes believe, and that our relationship with God is far more significant. So we see Jesus is talking about abundance, but not in the sense of material wealth, but in the richness of our relationship with God. Using that word richness is interesting, that we are to be rich towards God, rich in our relationship with God. I think that word usage is very intentional. So Jesus does not say material wealth, he doesn't say it's bad. He's not saying it's bad. But instead, he's saying that true riches are found in our growing relationship with God, which means if our bank account is growing, but we're disconnected from God, we're poor. We're destitute. We're in great spiritual need. Jesus even says to the rich young ruler, who was very satisfied with his relationship with God in the sense that he followed the law very strictly, and he was very good to follow all the things the law said. But when it came to Jesus saying, "Go sell all your possessions and follow me," it became a moment of sadness, great sadness in his life, because he knew he could not give up the things that he had in this world. And Jesus knew that that was the issue of his heart. It was not that he was rich. It was his unwillingness to let go of the things of this world to take hold of Christ. Sometimes we want easier solutions than what Jesus offers us. When he says, "Come and die so that you may live," that confounds a lot of people because they don't quite understand the calling of our lives to die. And yet in Christ we live. Jesus goes on to say to not worry about tomorrow. Just a little further down in verse 22, Luke 12, 22, he said to his disciples, "Therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat, about your body, what you'll wear, for life is more than food and the body more than clothes." And then a little further down in verse 29, he says, "Don't be concerned about what to eat and what to drink. Don't worry about such things. These things dominate the thoughts of unbelievers all over the world. But your Father already knows your needs. Seek the kingdom of God above all else, and he will give you everything you need." Do we believe that? Do we trust in Christ in this way? These are words that I think are so true, because he talks about these things, these thoughts about life and what we need and the clothes and the food and all the things that make up life on this earth. We think a lot about those things, and as we should, but the problem is it dominates. It talks about it dominates the thoughts. But I think it's beyond just unbelievers. I think sometimes, even as believers, these things can dominate our thoughts and become great distractions in ways they're not meant to be. In ways that we can trust God and find a greater fellowship in the Lord, even when we do have needs, we know that they will be met in Christ, in the Lord. We know that God will satisfy our needs. So the command is, seek first, right? Seek first. Because otherwise, if you don't put God first, if you don't seek Him first, you'll become very distracted by the things of this world. You'll become very distracted about all the things you need or think you need. And you'll even look around and see other people and what they have need or the things that they have filled in their lives. And you say, well, maybe I need that too. And of course, we know in life there's a lot of, well, if they have, I should have. And then we kind of try to fill voids that are not really true voids. Because God's saying the greater void is the spiritual void, the lacking Him. So that's why He says, seek me first, and I will bring things into your life. I will add unto you. There's a trust clause in there. Because if we come to that understanding, then we have to come to understand that, Lord, I trust you. I trust you that you will bring things into my life that will be a blessing, that will be bountiful, that I don't have to worry or stay up at night whether these things will happen or not happen, or the timing of them and everything, and that God, I can just trust you. And so I can turn my attention first and foremost to you. So sometimes we have to look and even ask ourselves this question, what is worrying us today? Is there anything worrying us today? Sometimes we have to stop and say, wait a minute. If I'm honest with myself, I'm worried over something. I'm worried over a job situation. I'm worried over a financial situation. I'm worried over even a relational situation. And it's got me kind of caught up. It's got me kind of caught up in a way that I'll be honest, I'm distracted. I'm not really focused. I'm not really, like, you know, I can pray and say, you know, Lord, but it kind of, if I'm really honest, it's dominating my thoughts. It's dominating my thoughts in a way that, I can sit down and pray, but I'm kind of having a hard time praying. I'm kind of having a hard time reading the Word. I'm kind of having a hard time worshiping because these things are dominating my thinking. And I know God's out there, but I'm not experiencing Him. And that's one reason sometimes we don't sense God, because we are so dominated by thoughts of the things of this world, and whether they're going right or not right, or maybe just out of our control. And because it's not in our control, it worries us. So does it seem hard to seek God in His kingdom when life is demanding? Life is difficult. How are we making time for God? And if I'm going to God, but I'm struggling on the inside, maybe I need to deal with that first. And maybe I need to repent of not trusting Him, so that as I go to Him, I'm not able to really spend quality time with Him, because I've got to get this thing before Him and lay it at His feet and repent of worrying so much about it. And then that starts to open the door for real relationship with God. I don't know. Maybe it's like the kid who comes home and they're having money problems. And they don't want to tell their parents they have money problems. But they have money problems and it's really bothering them. And they're really trying to figure it out. And they're trying, how do I tell my parents? What do I do? I don't know. You know, and they're trying to figure it all out. And their parents are like, honey, is there something bothering you? Oh, no. And they're still trying to figure it out. They're still trying to make it happen. And I'm talking about loving parents, good parents. Could you just tell us what's going on? Right? You ever seen the scenario? Well, maybe if I can just be honest, maybe if I could just speak about what's really going on, and I'm having some money problems, I'm having some money issues, and mom and dad, I have to admit I've had some failures and I've had some mistakes and I've made some bad decisions and I don't want to talk about it, but you know. And you know, there's grace. With God, there's grace, right? We don't have to figure it all out and get it right before we come to God and say, okay, Lord, I straightened it out. But I tell you what, when we unload and unburden ourselves at the throne of grace that God invites us to, when we come to that place, we can be unburdened. And at that point, we can have real relationship. Because I think sometimes these things hinder our relationship with God and with others. Because we're not being real. We're not being honest. And we can, right? We can, right? God's not this, I'm gonna lay the hammer on you because you made a mistake. There's a throne of grace. So we don't have to figure out life fully. So much stuff, so many things in life get sorted out at the feet of Jesus. And if we will learn that principle, we can worry a lot less. We can fear a lot less. And we can start to realize that, Lord, at your feet, things happen. And one of them is just being unburdened by the things of this world. And God can meet us. He can speak to us. He can talk to us. And his word is true. And sometimes he'll tell us things that we need to do and how we need to order things. And we need to take that and say, okay. And when he says something we say, wait, I can't do that. It's like, if he says it, it's like, you can do it. You can. If it costs you your pride, well, so be it. If it costs you making an apology, okay. Do it, right? If it means you being transparent about mistakes, well, it's time. It's time. There's just things that get sorted out at the feet of Jesus. And above all, you will find rest for your weary soul. I tell you, sometimes we carry burdens far too long, never we're supposed to carry. The Lord gives us rest for our weary soul. So this is where we're going deeper into this question. What is the abundant life? What is it? What is it that God gives us? These things that we're talking about. See, Jesus talks about this life that he gives us, and it's found in him. And that's so important. It's found in him. He says he is the resurrection, the way, and the life. This is what he says about himself. So that we will find life, and we find it in him. We simply know this. We know life because we know Jesus as our Lord and Savior. We also know him as our Redeemer and friend because we are invited into this friendship with God. We've been given a place in Christ where we are seated in heavenly places. See, you have this place that you've been given in him. Death has been conquered, and our debt of sin has been paid. So we don't have to pay it. I don't know if you've ever had a big loan paid off, but it is like a release from a debt, and it's fully paid. And also this, the devil cannot steal what is rightly ours in Christ. He'll lead us to believe that he can, but he cannot. He cannot force the hand of God open. He can't. He's not bigger and stronger than God. He can't steal from God. God is the great shepherd. God sees the wolves among the sheep, and God knows how to take care of them. But there are too many Christians who will forfeit the blessings of God, either by not knowing about the blessings of God, just being ignorant of what God has given us, or sometimes believers are running after the temptations of the devil. They're still doing it, still running after those temptations. And that is where the devil leads the sheep to stray away from the flock, to stray away from the shepherd, and isolate it and vulnerable. And sometimes the enemy gets us to believe that he has the upper hand, that he has the upper hand, that he's controlling the situation. And I would say we've not learned yet to get fully before God in our situations before the Lord, to know, Lord, you're in control. And what we have in you is ours. Joy is ours. Peace is ours. Provision from God is ours. Blessings from heaven. The scripture tells us that we have a shepherd who attends to us and leads us. You know the psalm very well. The Lord is my shepherd. I have what I need. He lets me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He renews my life. He leads me along the right paths for his name's sake. It gives God pleasure to shepherd us. It gives him pleasure. And it gives him glory because as he's shepherding us, he's blessing us. He's bringing us to green pastures, lush green pastures, quiet waters where our soul is restored, where we're renewed. We're becoming these people who are radiant with his presence. You see, this brings glory to God. Just like if you raise incredible children, it brings glory to the parents. It does. I think Papa's proud when he sees his work being done and us as his sheep following him, being led by him. So we have a great shepherd leading us in the pathway of life. This is what we have. It's ours. And we are to follow him. Are you following him? Because he's ready to lead. See, sometimes we can just be like, Lord, I've been enjoying this pasture for the last 50 years. I don't think I want to move. So, you know, if you could just kind of manage without me and just go on or do something. You know, sometimes we'll get stuck in a place. And if we know anything about sheep and cattle, you got to move from pasture to pasture and let the old pasture grow again and be fertile again, right? So we can't be sheep that just get stuck in one place. We have to move with God. Where he leads us, we will follow. And this is important because it's possible to know Jesus as our Savior. We're going to heaven. Hallelujah. But not know him as our shepherd. You see, you can know him as Savior, not shepherd, because you trust your eternity to him, but here on earth, you're not a very good follower. And you're kind of doing your own thing. Believers can do that. We can do our own thing, and we lose sight of Jesus as our shepherd, the great shepherd who wants to lead us and guide us. And we're not really into that because we are doing and managing what we think is a pretty good life. Or maybe not. I don't know. We see maybe we've made some mistakes and some failures. But hopefully that gets us to turn and say, Lord, what do you have for my life? I'd like to see where you would lead me. Don't we want to know where God would lead us? Over above just our choices that we would make? So he knows where the green pastures are. He knows where the waters that will restore our soul. He knows where they are. He desires to lead us to them. And we need not look elsewhere. Because he is our joy. See, it says the joy of the Lord is our strength. You want to be strong? You want to be robust sheep? Well, have joy. But wait, how do I have joy? Well, my joy is in him. That's where it is. My joy is in him. That's where I find it. When times of trouble come upon us, where's our peace? How do we find peace? Well, our peace is him. He's our peace. We find it in him. The goodness of God, it comes back to relationship with God. It comes back to the branch, abiding in the vine, staying, abiding. Here's a story about abundant life. Now, you might not think this is about abundant life, but it is about abundant life because it's what we have in him. Now, the last time our family went to Brazil, 5 years ago, last time we went to Brazil, our passports were stolen and $1,000 taken. They went right into our little, I don't know what you call it, little abode there, little place that we're staying. Went right in, found the pack, took it out, in and out, while we were gone. Right? That's the abundant life, right? Troubles will come our way. Troubles will come our way in life. So it's not that troubles won't come. And it was 4 passports that were taken. Mine was in a separate bag. So I had mine. And there was a purpose in all that. There was a purpose in all that. In fact, God had spoken to Erica before our trip to kind of rearrange the dates of my coming, because I had to come separate. But then I stayed the whole time that I was there. I just came later. And it worked out the way God wanted it to work out. But then you have a situation like that. You know, someone was watching us, right? Someone was watching our going in, our coming out, and we want Jesus to watch us, but we don't like other people like who have bad intentions to be watching us. But in life, that's true. Well, obviously that concerned us, right? It concerned us. How would we get home? What were we going to do? And were these people still watching us? I mean, were they still, I mean, did they want anything else? So we were concerned. Then the next day, on the way to the police station, we were stuck behind traffic. Our driver was upset because this truck in front of us was going like slow, like 30 miles per hour slow, right? And he was like, it's a one lane, I can't get around, you know, he's not happy. But it gives us time to notice that on the back of this truck is written this psalm, huge, in huge letters. It's Psalm 91. Do you know what Psalm 91 says? And I was like, look, look. And I can read enough Portuguese. Salmo 91. It's God above all. So I can read a little bit. I can read enough. And I can say, oh, I know that psalm. It says, he who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in him I will trust. Oh, and it goes on. It went on. See, he's our fortress. He's our protection. He's going to care for us in those times of trouble. So God very clearly spoke to us. He was speaking loud and clear. We were stuck behind traffic, behind this big truck. We had to read this verse. Thank the Lord. God was telling us he was our shelter. The enemy could not touch us. I mean, it seems like, well, the enemy kind of did take your stuff. But is my life a matter of possessions? No, that's not my life. But the enemy could not harm us. So we did get back to our prayer warriors here in America, that people start praying for us, interceding for us. We were scheduled to fly out in less than a week without passports. So we needed emergency passports. This is also coming out of COVID time, so travel was a little bit, you know, not so great. And making appointments at the consulate was not so great. It was online only. And the only reason you would talk to somebody is if a death happened or some great emergency. I mean, they were literally saying emergencies like death, like serious problems. And so we had these issues. We tried to call the consulate. There was no answer. And everything online, and the only available appointments online were like a month away. So we don't have the ability to get to the consulate to make this appointment. And so we did get a call from one of our, a message from one of our intercessors saying that there was going to be a lady who was going to help us. That she saw that there was going to be a lady who was going to be instrumental in helping us. And so then we got an idea from the Lord, because of course we were praying. We got an idea from the Lord. If we can't get through this consulate where we were in our state, then let's call another consulate. And so we went to called another state, another, you know, far, far away. And it actually was that way we got a hold of somebody. We got a hold of a deputy there who was a lady. And it was this lady who would help us and arrange for us to get an appointment, because she connected with the consulate in Rio from where she was. And then she gave the message, and then we were called by the consulate. See, instead of us calling them, they called us. So she had it arranged. and we were able to make an appointment the day of our leaving in the city. They have to go into the city. And so we were able to get the emergency passports and keep our flight. God provided. He made a way. But God was not done. Because when we get back, the Lord, you know, blessed us, took care of us, we were safe. But when we get back, the Lord, over the next few weeks, God sent us people and talked to people, different people who did not know each other. And they each gave us gifts and blessings. And the total amount covered all the money we lost. It covered everything we lost. And the cost of the passports, that we were now having to make new passports. So I'm just telling you, the Lord showed himself faithful in so many ways. It was not for us to, I mean, there were times to be concerned, but it was also times to pray. And God met us. And he just showed himself how faithful we are. See, what I'm saying is that is the abundant life, because that's what's available to us in Christ Jesus. It's his protection, his care, his divine hand upon us, that we can do the things that he says we can do. And the Lord, and things come against us. You see, and we pray, well, Lord God, if the enemy comes at us one way, we pray, Lord God, send him back, dividing him seven different ways. You see, you have power to pray. You have power to seek God. You have this great thing called trust in the Lord that is not going to get you out of sorts. But you know that the Lord has you, and you can have peace. You can have peace. The Lord will provide as he restored all things back to us. What a great reminder of who God is. So we have this abundant life available to us. Hearing the voice of God. What a blessing. What an incredible blessing to be able to hear the voice of God. To be a part of the community of God. People who really love each other and bless each other and care for each other, pray for each other. We have the peace of God, the provision of God, all found in God. You see, abundant life is our life in God, not apart from him. See, we get it wrong when we say, well, Lord, I want this creation of life. I want it given to me like a package of some sorts, but we're not connecting with him. Somehow it's outside of our relationship with God. It's always within our relationship with God. We find everything in him. So this is the abundant life. And much more. It's growing in you today. If you're walking with him. If you're staying connected with him. Abiding in him. This abundant life is growing. And it's in you. The Spirit of God is in you. And he can do more in you than you can think or imagine. God desires to prosper us. It's like him planting a seed inside of you. And over time, you're growing into this oak of righteousness, planted by the living waters that he is sending your way. And if we'll be planted in him, rooted in him, we will be blessed. And it's not necessarily about our bank account. God can bless that too. He can. Whatever you're ready for, he can do it. He can do it. But he'd rather, the way God works is he wants to work in you. He wants to bring the kingdom of God in you and to grow it. And to let it overflow and let it just be abundant so it flows in you and out of you, through you. And this life of God, this abundance of the Lord is overflowing in your life. Really, I believe it will affect every area of your life, every area. So how do you know? How do you know you're growing in the abundant life? Well, one, you know that God is good. You know. You've seen it. You've experienced it. You trust in it. It's deeper and deeper within you. The kingdom of God is more and more inside of you because you're growing with God. This is what it means to grow in God. It's growing inside of you. And the things of this world, they tempt us less and less. Like, we just don't care as much as we used to. And the enemy can't mess with us. Like, get us into that fear. And the way the enemy used to get us in fear and used to bother us and mess with us, it just doesn't work like it used to. We can see it for what it is. And we can see what we have in God. And then we realize that we can tell the devil, no, you're a liar. You're a liar. You can't, dude, and have these things and say these things. They're lies. We see it for what it is. We are learning to trust God more. So if you see yourself, I trust God more, then you're more established in Him. You're more rooted in Him. You're abiding in Him. Fear just doesn't grip you like it once did. And you see wisdom, the wisdom of God growing in you. You know, decisions that you used to make, maybe impetuous decisions, maybe foolish decisions, it's like, no. Mm-mm. No, I'm going a different way. I'm going the way God wants me to go. And you're gaining wisdom and growing in it. And the devil can't dupe you. And the things of God, you see, you think about and you focus upon and you cherish the things of God. You cherish His presence. You love His presence. You long for His presence. You want time with the Lord. You see, that becomes more of a longing of your heart to spend time with Him. You want His word. You want His truth. You desire more to serve Him. Worship is a blessing. It's a blessing. It's not a chore. It's a blessing. And the Holy Spirit is filling your life. So, just like you know, a tree is alive and the leaves are growing, the fruit is on the vine. You know, you can see it in your life. You can see the fruitfulness, you can see the blessings, you can see the trust, you can see what God has done. He grows it, and He's not finished. He's not finished yet. He still wants to grow your life in Him, bless every area of your life. And this deep abiding, He just says, yes, it's deeper, it's richer, there's more. And all we have to do is say, yes, Lord, I submit myself to You. I belong to You. Where shall we go today? What shall we do? Is that your mindset? Is that your heart? Because He has more for you. He has the abundant life.